when the spring had arrived, frost and cold had disappeared. Snow lay here and there, melting slowly away as it gave way to the green. New smells emerged. The sun was still distant, but cast long shadows. Early in the morning, the goddess of love, Freya, was out walking. I'm sorry that my English is broken, but I will now try to make this podcast in English too, as I have done it in Norwegian already. Beyond the Border, this fantastic festival, perhaps the longest lived and biggest storytelling festival in Europe, has been cancelled this year due to the pandemic. It is a shame, but very understandable. The first time I was there at the festival in Wales as a storyteller was around 2000. It went rather poorly. For instance, the storyteller Abby Patrix, he fell asleep during one of my performances. A good example of what can happen, what may happen, when you are uncertain and not well prepared. Just to say it, Abby is a very good friend today. The threefold present is a term I borrowed from the French philosopher Paul Ricoeur. In the work Time and Narrative, Volume 1, Ricoeur begins with an analyse of Augustine's Confessions, focusing on what time is. And here he writes about the present as he interprets Augustine. It has then its basis in a religious dimension, which does not engage me much. What is interesting is that the present is described as a triad. Past and future are placed in the present through memory and expectation. Memory and expectation are modalities of the present. Expectation is analogous to memory because an expectation is built on a prior knowledge, an image we know and which then creates our expectation. There is thus a dialectical relationship between memory and expectation. The third element present in the present is perception. The present therefore consists of memory, perception and expectation. This can be essential in understanding how a storytelling performance affects the listener's cognitive and emotional responses. The listener must both be able to recognize what is happening, but also be surprised and excited about how it goes on in a particular narrative one tells. Back to the festival. In 2014, Mathilde and I travelled to Wales to attend the storytelling festival. Now, getting from Norway to Wales is a bit tricky. Well, you can buy expensive flight tickets to Cardiff, but we could not. So the solution was to fly to Gatwick in England and then take a train from Gatwick to Bridgend in Wales, which was the closest train station to the festival. Train tickets were booked in advance. We then got a train route from Gatwick to Reading in England. There we had to change for a new train from Reading to Cardiff, and then a new train from Cardiff to Bridgend. From Reading we had seat reservations, which we were required to have. Now this sounds a bit, should I call it advanced? But it is important information to help you grasp the mystery that is to come. At Gatwick, we had agreed to meet Ragnhild, a storyteller who came from Berlin. The plan was for us to take the trains together, sit and gossip on the train, you know, enjoy each other's company time. Koselig, we say in Norwegian. Or hygge. Now, it turned out that Ragnhild had got another train to Wales. She was to travel from Gatwick to Reading and then take a direct train from Reading to Bridgend. So she did not have to have this extra train exchange, which we had. However, we had the same train to Reading, so we had at least 1 hour journey together. At Gatwick, the airport, we randomly met Kwame and Raymond, two other persons traveling from Norway to the same festival. But their journey, their travel was to travel from Gatwick to London and then from London to Cardiff. I mean, take the train from London. And this seemed to us a bit, you know, a bit extra stress, and we laughed a bit that they had to take this extra detour. But that was the deal they had, and they had to follow that. Ragnhild and Mathilde and I sat on the train, and we were in good mood. We had this, you know, this youthful feeling that came over us. It was like that we were kind of a backpackers on the train. It did not last long, because soon the train stopped, because a train ahead of us had problems. So we had to leave the train at a nearby station and wait for the train line to be ready for new traffic. And with heavy luggage and some discouragement, or whatever you call it, we waited, and Mathilde and I realized that we were not going to catch the train from Reading. Ragnhild's train would depart later, so we crossed our fingers that maybe we could get on this train. Eventually, we got a new train onto the station. It was fully packed, and we had to stand in the corridor for an hour, and we did not say much. Arriving in Reading, we got off the train. Of course, we missed the second train, which we were supposed to take, Mathilde and I. But we crossed our fingers that we maybe could take the train that Ragnhild was going to take, despite not having a ticket or a seat reservation for this train. I mean, this was a train we had never intended to take, and it might even be full, but for us it was more important to arrive at the festival, and if this meant that we had to stand all the way, it did not matter. A little information here. Mathilde, she brought a very, let me call it, unlucky suitcase, produced sometimes in the 1970s, before suitcases had wheels. So the change of train here and there was in practice a torture in carrying luggage. At the station, we talked to this person, I think you call it a valet, a person who works on the train station, and he said to us it was quite okay, gave us the signal that this was perfectly fine to take another train, even though it was not the train we were supposed to take. And down on the platform, another person told us that if we wanted to sit, we should go at the back of the train. So we ran with our luggage. As Freya was out walking, she heard sounds. Sounds of hard metal being hammered on. She followed the sounds. She was curious. And then she arrived next to a large stone that was open. She looked inside. Light was pouring out of it. And inside, she saw four dwarfs working on a necklace, a piece of jewelry. Freya looked at it. She liked it. Freya, she knew she had to have it. So Freya spoke. And when a goddess like Freya, you know, a very important person, speak, they speak about themselves in third person. So Freya said, oh, what if Freya, the goddess of love, could have that necklace around her, you know, lying on her chest, around her neck? The dwarves looked up. They seemed to like Freya. I mean, the necklace was beautiful, but Freya, the goddess of love, oh, she was far more beautiful. Freya, she continued, Freya, she will pay gold for that necklace. No, the dwarves, they were, you know, they were working with gold. They didn't need gold. They could easily find gold. There was no need for her to pay them. No, it was not accepted. But Freya can pay you apples, apples of youth. You know, the gods had these apples of youth. It's called Idun's apples, which kept them young, but the dwarves didn't care about youth. They were living long enough anyway, so no. But what they really needed, which they did not have, was love. So if Freya would have the necklace, she could pay them one night each. Freya looked at the four. Oh, they were smelly, dirty, standing there with their long tongues hanging out of their mouths. No way she would. But at the same time, there was this little glimmer in the necklace, this little bing, and she knew she had to have it. So she accepted. And the first night she spent with the one who was very clever in using his tools. The second night with the one who had it in his hands. And on the third night with the one who had it in his mouth. And the fourth night with the one who knew a bit of everything. And when Freya left the place with the necklace, with the jewelry, she thought that she didn't pay much for that. Now, it turned out that this was all seen by Loki, the trickster in Norse mythology. And he immediately told it to Odin, the main god in Norse mythology. And then a whole new story started. But that's a different story. Now, this story I told at the festival in 2014, and actually parts of it is inspired by Ragnhild's version. So this means that we reached our destination. Back to the train. So the three of us, like inconvenient companions we were, we threw ourselves into a random coach at the back of the train. And once inside the coach, we caught sight of Kwame and Raymond and Jan, a good friend. The mood rose considerably. What luck that they were sitting on this train despite having travelled from London. We sat down. I sat next to Jan, and the chatter was on. I was sitting on the outer seat with an ale next to me, and on the other side of the ale there was a four seats, and two young British girls were sitting in them, and Ragnhild and Matilda sat in another row, right, quite close to us four. After a short while, I'm quite relieved that we now hopefully would be on this train all the way to the end station. Kwame leaned forward. He sat above me. He pointed to the seat next to me on the other side of the aisle and said, "Your name is on that seat." I leaned over and took the seat reservation that was on that seat. And there it said clearly, Dahlsven. How is this possible? This was not the train we were going to take, and this was a coach we randomly entered, and yet it has my name. That is to say, my surname. But still, not many people in Norway has that name, and even fewer, I would imagine, would be on the way to Wales at the same time. We had a seat reservation that we had booked, but this on our ticket did not at all match what was saying on the seat reservation here in the random train. I mean, it was a different train on a different time and a different coach. The conductor could not explain it. And I wonder, are they so efficient on trains in UK that they would predict that I would end up on this train in this coach? The reservation on the note in the train was from Paddington, London, which was never my intention to travel from. This mystery has never been solved. How is it possible that my name was reserved on a train I should never have taken, but which I still and randomly ended up in? Can someone explain me that, please?